White Rocket Entertainment.
10, 9, 8, 7, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition. 2, 1, 0. We have a liftoff. We have a liftoff, and it's lighting up the area. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center as the Saturn V is moving off the pad. It is now clear of the tower.
Hello, and welcome to a very special, very impromptu White Rocket podcast and White Rocket TV. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I've just seen the Dark Tower movie with Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey. I know that quite a few of my friends have been wondering about it, and several have asked me what I, you know, were saying they were interested in seeing what I thought about it. So I thought I would just put this together very quickly. As a solo effort tonight, sort of immediate reactions to this movie. I may do some spoilers at the end, but I'll give you warning before I get into any real spoiler territory, okay? So for right now, I'll talk in non-spoiler terms. As far as it goes to specifics, okay? I'm going to talk in some generalities. If you don't want to know anything, then why are you watching this, all right? If you don't want to know anything, then go see the movie and just judge it for yourself. I said I wasn't going to judge this movie until I'd actually seen it. I know it's a revolutionary idea in today's social media age where we judge things just based on what other people have said. And I've waited a long time for this particular story to get to movie or television or whatever form other than just the books and the Marvel comics. So I was very much looking forward to it, and I was definitely going to give it a chance. You know, it had to succeed or fail right there in front of my own eyes and ears. And so I'm going to talk first just a little bit about my overall reaction to it and what it is as I see it, because what it is very important in how you, I think, judge it. You'll see what I mean by that. And then I'll talk about some specifics at the very end, but again, I'll give you some warnings. All right, so I want this to be about a 10-minute long quick video and audio, so I'm going to jump in and jump out real fast. So here's the deal. The books are 7 volumes long, culminating with this monstrosity right here, this monster of a book, The Dark Tower, Part 7, The Dark Tower. And these 7 books are all fairly long, except really for the first one, and which is very brief. I'm not a big fan of the first one. And have tons of characters. And see, here's the thing that Stephen King does. Okay, I've said this many times before. You may have heard me say this on a previous show. The thing that Stephen King does is he writes these super long books because he introduces lots of characters, and he gives you lots of information and lots of, you know, you get to experience life with quite a few of them. So, you know, either you love them, you like them, you hate them, but you have an investment in them by the time you get to the end of the book, when in his book something horrific, you know, generally happens. Though this is not the typical Stephen King story. Even though in some ways it is the Stephen King story. Those that have read it know what I mean. I'm not going to go any further. But he gives you all these characters, and he gives you page after page of reasons to be wrapped up in their fate, good or bad. I think that's one reason why his movies don't tend to do as well story-wise as successful as his books. Here's what I mean by that. His books give you page after page to really care about the characters. And then when the big Stephen King stuff happens, you have an investment in it. But in the movies, they tend to dump out a lot of that character stuff. Otherwise, the movies would be 6-7 hours long, and then there'd only be the Stephen King stuff in the last 30 minutes, right? So, which is kind of the way the books are. So his movies kind of leave out all the stuff that make you care and go straight to the thrill ride, the roller coaster. But if you don't care that much about the characters, then the thrill ride isn't nearly as thrilling as it was when you read the books. I've always felt like that's kind of a major problem that Stephen King has translating his books to the screen, right? That's why I think they work better in long-form things like The Stand or The Shining when they've been done as miniseries, because then you have more time to build up an interest in the characters and to care. Now, I would therefore say the shorter a Stephen King movie, the less successful it tends to be, unless it was specifically written to be like a quick hitter. That takes us to tonight's movie, The Dark Tower, which is an hour and a half long, and that was the first big red flag. You know, this movie should have been one of two things. It should have either been The Gunslinger, Volume 1, or it should have been the length of Return of the King, 3.5 hours long, at least. Now, it certainly wasn't going to be 3.5 hours long. Not even having Ron Howard as executive producer was going to make this movie be 3.5 hours long. And so they went the other route. So here's the thing. I mean, well, I've got some specific things to say about that, but again, I'll hold off till a little bit later on. Overall judgment. For 95% of this movie, I either liked it or didn't hate it. I was okay. Idris Elba as Roland the Gunslinger, for what there is of him, very good. I'm perfectly happy. I thought he was as good of a Roland as I could have imagined. I mean, I know that there are people that are mad that somebody didn't invent a time machine and go get Clint Eastwood from the 1960s, but guess what? Clint Eastwood is 137 years old now. Okay, you're not going to have Clint Eastwood in this movie. You're just not, unless you do like the end of Rogue One and have him CGI, and that would be ridiculous. So they got somebody who's a very good figure along those same lines, Idris Elba, and he was great. I thought he was fine. Now, some were saying, well, the problem with Idris Elba being in it is it messes up the Odetta, Susanna storyline later on. Let me just say, if this is the end, if what we had today, this movie today, is as far as it goes, and given the box office returns, it may be, okay? There were like 6 other people in the theater with us. If this is as far as it goes, that does not matter in the slightest, okay? That would be like complaining that the X-Men weren't in the Avengers movie. It just doesn't even matter. I'm trying to avoid spoilers here, okay? It doesn't matter, okay? So Roland was fine. I thought with what they gave Matthew McConaughey to do, Matthew McConaughey as the Man in Black, Walter, I believe he's honestly in this movie more than he's in all 7 books put together. I mean, he's in this movie more than Roland is. But this movie, above and beyond anything else, this movie is Jake Chambers, right? Jake Chambers? It's been a long time since I read him. Jake Chambers. Yeah, Tom Taylor. Tom Taylor, the young actor playing Jake Chambers, was, I thought, very good. And this was the Jake Chambers movie. And because this was the Roland and Jake Chambers movie with the Man in Black and the Periphery, for 95% of it, I thought we were getting this. Now, I know it's called The Dark Tower. It's not called The Dark Tower 1, The Gunslinger, like Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. You know, I knew it was not called this. I understood that. But for much of the movie, this is what I thought we were seeing. And let me tell you one thing. Again, I'm not a big fan of this specific volume, okay? 2 through 7, including this big one, right? Great. Great. I even love the ending. The all-controversial ending, I even love the ending. It's very Marv Wolfman, Fantastic Four Galactus, but I love it. But I don't love this book. And so as I was watching this movie, I kept thinking, you know what we're getting here? We're getting an expanded version of The Gunslinger, Volume 1. And expanded in the sense that several things happen that are not remotely in here. Like, they actually explain what the Dark Tower is. They explain what the man in black is trying to do. They explain the layers of the universe, mid-world, all that. That stuff that, A, doesn't even really come up until the second, third, fourth books, if then, right? But B, I thought, you know, that's okay. Because honestly, I'm not convinced Stephen King knew when he wrote them. I think Stephen King made a lot of this stuff up as he went along. And that's not a bad thing. That's fine. When I write, I do a fair amount of that. I mean, Stephen King has said before, he likes to make stuff up as he goes along. He doesn't plot and plan everything out very specifically going in. So that's fine. That's not a criticism of Stephen King. It's not a criticism of the books. It's simply saying that I think Stephen King was making that stuff up as he went along later in the series. And because of that, you have just a lot of mystery that's never resolved in the first few books, okay? You don't know what's going on or why. And so in this movie, they really just pretty much present everything right up front to you. This movie is like 70% The Gunslinger and 20% explanation stuff from the other six books so that it kind of makes sense. And I got to tell you, as I'm sitting there for the first 95% of this movie, I'm thinking, I like this movie better by far if it is the first of several, okay? If it is the first of several, I like this movie better than I liked Volume 1, The Gunslinger. It's like a more elaborated on, more expanded upon Volume 1, where things make sense from the beginning. Not as much mystery, but things make more sense. Now, there's one caveat to that, which is if you didn't know a lot, right? If you hadn't read the books, then even when they explain it, it's still very confusing. My wife said she liked it okay, but didn't fully understand what was going on, and I don't blame her a bit because she hadn't read the books. And I don't see how anybody could fully understand what's going on in this movie that hasn't read the books. I hate that, but it's 90 minutes of stuff kind of flying at you, you know, and then you're done. Now, let me go ahead and give us a potential, now that we're at the almost, gosh, 12 minutes, that happened real fast, at about the 12-minute mark here, let me go ahead and give a quick spoiler warning because I want to talk very quickly about what specifically happens in this movie that I was happy and not happy with and why I compare it to the Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer. Yes, that's the movie that came to my mind. If you want to know why, stay tuned through the spoiler section here because I'm going to go ahead now and I'm going to talk more specifically. I'm going to talk more specifically about what happens in this movie. You've had your warning. Don't blame me if you get something, if you were planning to see it tomorrow and I'm about to, this is your warning. All right, here we go. So this movie, for 95% of it, is an expanded adaptation of The Gunslinger. It's Roland, Jake, and the Man in Black. There's no Eddie. There's no Susanna. There's no Oi. Although there is a kind of a visual reference to him that was kind of funny. They at least tip the hat to Oi. But it's this character. There's three characters plus Jake's mother and stepfather. And then Jackie Earle Haley is like the henchman to the Man in Black. He's pretty good because I love Jackie Earle Haley. He's great. So here's the deal, and here's why I compare this movie to the Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer. Think about the second Fantastic Four movie from Fox a few years ago. You know, the Silver Surfer comes in, the Fantastic Four meet him, and you get like barely an hour and a half, barely, so it's really short, like the Dark Tower. You get barely an hour and a half of the Fantastic Four and the Silver Surfer interacting, and you know, oh, Galactus is out there, and he's going to eat the whole planet, and oh, Lord, Galactus is this big threat coming, and oh my gosh, and the Silver Surfer and the Fantastic Four and Dr. Doom and all that, well, Dr. Doom, and then at the end, the Silver Surfer's like, you know what, I'm on you guys' side, and he flies up and he destroys Galactus. Wait, what? Yeah, at the end of the second Fantastic Four movie, all it took to defeat Galactus was the Silver Surfer says, you know what? You've changed my mind about things. I will now go and single-handedly defeat the big bad. No, that should not ever happen. That's ridiculous. So that is how I compare this movie. For 95% of this movie, it is a fine, wonderful The Gunslinger Volume 1 setup. It goes to places like the Dixie Pig. That's when I started getting nervous. I'm like, wait, that's something from later in the series. They don't need to be going there. But you don't, and you do get the clan that has the spheres, the balls, right, and can travel through the portals. You get them, and you get a couple of other things I'm about to get to. Oh, you find out the whole deal about the man in black trying to destroy the Dark Tower. You see the facility where he's using the kids with psychic powers, brain power, to try to destroy it. You see all that from the very... In fact, you see that at the very beginning. From the very beginning. So, I was like, okay. That made me nervous because I thought, if this is just the Gunslinger, we're seeing too much. But then I kept saying, you know, it's okay because they're just trying to... They're trying to make it make sense to us from the beginning. Instead of having all these mysteries, they're wanting you to kind of understand everything up front. So I'm like, okay, I'll give them a pass on that because it's making it make more sense. And then at the end, you get the big battle. Here's the big spoiler, okay? At the end, you get the big battle, and the Gunslinger shoots the man in black in the head, and McConaughey is down with a hole in his head, apparently dead, and they blow up the facility that was going to destroy the Dark Tower and live happily ever after. Yeah, I don't even. Because if you wanted this to set up the rest of the series, then you have Roland do something to drive away Walter, right? Drive him away, damage his facility or something, run him off. You don't kill him and live and walk off into the sunset, basically. So, I mean, I guess a second movie, and again, I doubt there will be a second movie now. I think we've seen the beginning and the end of this now. But I guess if there were a second movie, I guess it could start with the man in black opening his eyes and sitting up and like pulling the bullet out of his head and throwing it away. I could see that. And in fact, maybe there's a post-credit scene that we got up and left and we didn't see where he does that. I don't know. But you needed that Darth Vader, you know, corrects his controls and flies away from the Death Star scene where the bad guy gets away to fight another day. You needed that, and we don't get it. So, you know, anybody that didn't know any better would think that the entire Dark Tower series was this one thin little book. That's it. You know, 200 and something pages. I guess I should have put this earlier before the spoiler thing, right? My final verdict on this movie is it's extremely disappointing. It was 90% hopeful. I was with it till the end. I felt like what was there up until the end was promising and had a lot of potential. I liked the actors. I liked the characters. But if this is the whole thing, where are all the other characters? I mean, there's no city, you know, from the wastelands. There's no train, Blaine the train. There's no Wizard in Glass and Roland's girlfriend. There's no none of the stuff from 5 and 6. I mean, there's so much. I'll sum it up this way. I said it's kind of like if Peter Jackson had filmed The Lord of the Rings, and the entire Lord of the Rings series that Peter Jackson filmed, the whole Lord of the Rings, was a 90-minute movie that had Frodo, Sam, and Aragorn, and it had maybe 3 scenes from The Fellowship of the Ring, and at the end, up on the hill at the very end of Fellowship of the Ring where Boromir gets killed. Instead of Boromir getting killed, Sauron gets killed. That's what this would be, is the entire Lord of the Rings ending with Sauron getting killed at whatever the name of that hill is. I know, but I forgot. Actually, that would be too much because that movie's 3 hours long and this was only an hour and a half. So this would actually, it would be like if Peter Jackson filmed The Lord of the Rings and the thing ended when they left Rivendell the first time after the Council of Elrond. It's like if they did everything up to the Council of Elrond and then when they're walking out past the waterfall, somebody pulls out a gun and fires a bullet and it shoots the big flaming eye and Sauron dies at the end. You don't get the underground stuff. You don't get Lothlorien. You don't get the death of Boromir. You don't get anything from Return of the King. You don't get anything from the Two Towers. You know, you don't get Isengard, or you don't get Helm's Deep, anything like that. So, all right. Well, there you go. I on a scale of 1 to 10, I guess I'd give this about a... It was hovering around a 7 for me for a while, but I ended up giving it like a 4. I give it a 4 out of 10. I'm glad I saw it. Very disappointed by it. What's there, for the most part, 90% of what's there is okay. I think the negative reviews do it a disservice. I think it's okay. But as a Dark Tower story, it's a short story. It's not even a novella. It's a short story. And you don't care about anybody because you don't have any time with them. It's the Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer in the Dark Tower in Midworld. All right. Hate to be a bummer. Hate to bring you down. But that's how I saw it. So I'm afraid we won't see any more Dark Tower. I can't imagine. It's not making any money, is it? Surely, because its reviews have been terrible. This has been like the most positive review I've seen it get, my own. We'll be back. Back in the days ahead, I'm going to review. We got several big ones coming up later on. Probably the next big thing would be Thor Ragnarok. You better believe we'll be doing shows about that. And then, of course, Ready Player One comes up next year, too. I just heard the other day there's another movie that comes up about the same time as Ready Player One. I can't remember what. Oh, maybe it's Captain Marvel on the same weekend as Ready Player One. Good Lord. All right, gang. Rocket's going to get out of here for another week. We'll see you guys down the road. Don't forget to go to patreon.com. Van Allen Plexico, we appreciate your support. Bye-bye.
Griffin, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.